threats that globalization poses to contemporary indigenous peoples. And while in Mexico and in Colombia, most specifically in Mexico, I was working for a human rights organization called Wings for Peace. It helps to educate U.S. citizens about the impacts of U.S. Economic and military policy on indigenous peoples, women, workers, young people, et cetera, the more vulnerable sectors of society. And as many of you all know, free trade or the liberalization of commerce around the globe has been a trend that has categorized economic globalization. January 1st, 1994, the North American Free Trade Agreement went into effect between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. And it certainly had very important impacts for indigenous peoples in all countries. But today I just wanted to highlight two or three examples of how free trade, in this case NAFTA, has impacted indigenous peoples in Mexico. Mexico's indigenous population is roughly around 15%, and most of that is concentrated in the southern states of Chiapas and Oaxaca. And you can talk a lot about the impacts of trade liberalization, or kind of the striking down of barriers to trade, such as protective tariffs and quotas and the flow of goods. And in theory, a lot of proponents of NAFTA argue that consumers would have access to cheaper goods, and in some cases that's true. We could talk all day about the pros and cons of NAFTA, but in the case of indigenous peoples, it's had pretty distinct effects. But one thing we have to do when we're talking about indigenous peoples in Mexico, we have to go back to the Mexican Revolution and to the Constitution of 1917, which at a time was a response to a large concentration of land in the hands of a few. Most peasants, both including mestizo and indigenous peoples, had very little access to land. And so Article 27 of the Mexican Constitution, which became a core elements of the Constitution, which still today is considered one of the most progressive in the world, established what's called the ejido system, or communal landholding system, for not just indigenous peoples, but small farmers. And this article is important because it creates communal, not just communal landholding spaces, but codifies communal landholding rights. And so for indigenous peoples and people, ejidarios, are people that live and work on ejidos, that means as a collective who work the land, people have their own plots, but the land itself cannot be sold. It can be sold within the members of the ejido, but it can't be sold to outside individuals, corporations, or in most cases, the state. So in that sense, it was kind of creating, guaranteeing people that had historically been marginalized in society and had little access to land, guaranteed them that land. Now, moving forward about 75 years, we looked at the negotiations of NAFTA. And one of the key things that the United States was demanding in these negotiations was a reconfiguration of this article. And that's what indeed what happened, is that this article was essentially gutted to allow these ejidos to be broken up. So we have that scenario, and then we have to also combine this with kind of other elements of neoliberalism, or kind of the gutting of the social welfare state in Mexico. So in the 1980s and 1990s, as free trade is being negotiated, and eventually goes into effect in 1994, you have the gutting of kind of the social safety net in Mexico, and the further reduction of price supports for farmers, more limited access for loans, and this means dire consequences for small farmers and indigenous people who, for the most part, are small landholders, are growing subsistence for their families and then selling the surplus. But oftentimes that surplus might be the difference between buying clothes or buying school supplies. So we have Article 27, we have kind of a reduction in the social safety net. And with NAFTA, you have the introduction of U.S.-produced corn, which has been one of the major focus or kind of focus crops in NAFTA, where U.S.-produced corn is heavily subsidized and enters Mexico very cheaply. essentially rendering uncompetitive small farmers. So that surplus that these many families depended on is not able to be sold because you can buy, folks can buy cheaper corn elsewhere. So what are the consequences of these? First, we see sending states such as, southern states of Mexico, such as Chiapas and Oaxaca, that historically have not been migration sending states to the United States, are now becoming in the top five of all 32 Mexican states in terms of sending migrants to the United States. That's partly because young men, newly heads of households, aren't able to eke out a living because of some of the things I'm mentioning. We're also seeing cases of, because of the heightened economic pressures, we see ejidos breaking up, not just indigenous, but also mestizo ejidos breaking up to be able to pay oftentimes the price it takes to get to the United States, which right now runs between anywhere between $3,000 and $7,000 to pay a coyote or kind of a guide that takes you across the border. So we see the disintegration in certain communities of not just indigenous culture, but traditional roles of work, of family, of production. So that's a key thing there. The other thing I wanted to touch briefly on is, what's time left?
It's 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute. Maybe I'll just leave it at that. I did want to mention an issue of biosecurity and genetically modified organisms which are still being kind of tested. And that was another issue with corn, where corn is, was first domesticated thousands of years ago in Mexico. As Dr. Valle was talking about, biodiversity of corn in Mexico is very rich. And genetically modified corn, which is illegal to plant but has been able to contaminate corn stocks in Mexico, poses a threat not just to genetic diversity but to cultural diversity because of this ancient connection between indigenous peoples and their food. So afterwards we can talk more about kind of this link really between globalization, free trade, and the threats that it poses to indigenous peoples, not just in Latin America but around the world. Thanks.
Thank you.